Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Play it out. Amen, because you can't smell your flowers while you're dead. But this plaque that they gave us says Trailblazers Leadership Award presented to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield in recognition and with appreciation for your valuable contribution in the building community partnership to advance the education, health, quality of life of others. Thank you for your outstanding leadership strength and dedicated public service throughout the community that lights the path for others to follow. You are indeed an illustrative and innovative trailblazers. Amen. Minister Charlotte Dudley and Terry Alexander, the Light of the World, Lamps Ministry. And we thank God for just being able to be recognized, because a lot of times people never get recognized. And we thank God for that we can smell this flowers while we live. And today the occasion was, even though they honored us, the occasion was to raise money to support this lady who survived breast cancer. Started over 17 years ago, and she's still here. And so it's not just a recognition for us, but it's also doing something for others. And Minister Dudley has been doing this for 17 years. So we thank God for her. We bless God for her life, because that's an innovative, motivated woman who is on fire for God, and she's doing the will of God. So thank God for her and her team, amen, presenting us today. It was really an honor. We had a nice dinner, amen, a nice opportunity. But we thank and praise God, amen, for what he's doing in our lives. He is awesome. He is magnificent. And I know that if you have been born again, you know God is getting sweeter and sweeter. My mama said, as the day go by.
Amen.
Oh, my God. So tonight, we're going to be blessed by a powerful, I'm going to call him a young man, amen, who is on fire for the Lord, amen. And here is none other than Minister Joseph Anthony Jones. So we want him to press one as we bring him live, amen, tonight, and thank God for his wonderful wife, Emily Jones, amen. They're a dynamic team, amen, and we thank God for their lives. Amen. Minister Jones, you are live on the air, and we want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell them a little bit of amen, and go ahead with what God has given you to give to us.
Good afternoon, everyone. God bless you all, Pastor Stephen Butterfield and Ann Butterfield. We say good evening to everyone and our listening on the podcast. We bring you greetings for me and my wife. You know, I was messing with my wife as you introduced me. You called me a young man. I put my hands up. And when you said something about her, I said, she all right. But before we get started, my wife will bring us a song preparation, and then we'll get into our word. Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You are holy. Oh, so holy. You are holy. Oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into the presence of your own. You are holy. Oh, so holy. You are holy. Oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, and I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart and my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you, and I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the
Lord.
Glory to
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We thank you for that song preparation for my wife. I thank God for her. And that is my, we say Batman got a Robin, and that's my right hand and, you know, and my love. I thank God for her because he's given her to me and nobody else. So I can claim that. Amen. And so as we get prepared for the scripture, it will be taken from 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. We're going to look at 1 through 30, but we're not going to read all of it. We're going to read six verses, but we're going to cover the whole 30 verses in the sermon. And it's going to be real quick. And so I just want you to get your Bibles, 2 Chronicles, 20th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 and verses 14 through 17. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 and 2 and verses 14 and 17. And afterwards, we'll go into prayer and then move forward. Amen?
Amen.
So the word for the people out of the King James Version reads as follows. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with their other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then here came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they are the Hazarites of Tamar, which is Engedi. And verse 14 through 17. And Jezreel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benai, the son of Jael, and the son of Matthiel, and the Levites, a Levite of the sons of Aston, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hark ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God.
Amen.
Tomorrow go ye down against them beyond. They came up by the cliff of Zion, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, O God, to speak to your people about your word. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, that you use me as a yielding vessel, God, that I will speak what you've given me, Lord. Holy Spirit, take control. Hide me behind your word, Lord, that you will get the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father, use me as a yielding vessel, as I said before, Lord, to speak your word. And those who will listen tonight, Lord, send them a special blessing to take that, who took time out to hear your word and receive your word. And Father, we do all to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Real quickly, I'm going to use for a subject, and it's found in verse 15 on the last line. the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And I know you probably heard this preached many times before, and it's as a familiar scripture and a story in the Bible, but hopefully that something I would say tonight will give you another or a different outlook on this scripture. First, I want you to understand that King Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah, which was the southern kingdom. And in this chapter, you will find helpful information and instructions on the subject of prayer and trusting God when we face severe trials. See, King Jehoshaphat was basically a good king, and he sought out to follow the Lord and bring God's people back to him. And you can find that in 2 Chronicles 19:4-11. And he ruled, as I said before, he ruled the southern kingdoms, and at the same time, King Ahab, which was a wicked king, ruled the northern kingdom over Israel. But although King Jehoshaphat was a good king, he had a character flaw. His character flaw was trusting in the wrong people. So King Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Ahab, who did not believe in God Almighty, the God of Jehovah that we serve. And how many of you know the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked? And so that does not mean just first of all, it does mean in the sense of who we serve. Unequally yoked, if I'm a Christian, therefore I cannot team up or get alliance with a Muslim because we don't believe in the same thing. A Buddha would not get up and hook up and get alliance with someone who is a Catholic because they don't believe in the same thing. And unequally yoked does also mean that someone who does not believe the same way you believe in the natural. So that's one of the things that King Jehoshaphat made a mistake at. And so as he went along during his reign, King Jehoshaphat made a pact with King Ahab to go in battle with him. And if you read chapter 18, verse 3 in 2 Chronicles, you will see that Jehoshaphat almost lost his life because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time dealing with the wrong people. But now he not only did that, he arranged his son to be married to Ahab's daughter, and we know that his wife was the wicked Jezebel and her daughter. They got teamed up. And then not only that, his daughter tried to kill all of the David line of the resistance, except for the infant Joash. And Joash was hidden from this murderous intent of Jezebel's daughter. And then Jehoshaphat didn't stop there. He went even further, and he formed an ill-advised business with Ahab's son to have ships go to Tarshish for trading. And so I believe his motives was when his life was good, and they was good ideas, but they were not God ideas. And see, I believe that Jehoshaphat was a person who was probably one of the best for everybody. He was probably the type of guy, as we would say, happy-go-lucky guy, that everything was going well for him, and he wanted to share that love with everybody else. And his mindset was to reunite both kingdoms. But you understand, that was not God's intent at that time. So he regrettably failed at both of these things, and he did not seek God's direction and guidance, and that's where he went wrong in. And so with that history, look what happened in chapter 20 with Jehoshaphat, because in the text, the word came to King Jehoshaphat that the Moabites and the Ammonites were going to go against them in battle. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to pause right here right quick because I want you to remember back in the day when we was in school, and the bully came and told you he's going to kick you, you know what, after class. And in a few minutes, the whole school knew what was going on. And at 3 o'clock, it was going down. And so that's how Jehoshaphat felt, because he knew that they was coming against him. Now, you are worried to pieces. You can't eat your lunch. Think about what you're going to do, how you're going to either fight or find a way out. But as Christians, we know that the devil does the same thing to us. What he tries to do is get us so scared that even we can't even get to the fight because our mind is on something else. And so the enemy does this even don't want you to show up to the fight because he knows if you are a God-fearing man or woman, he knows what the outcome is going to be. He knows that God is on your side, and he knows he's going to lose. So therefore, he tries to use scare tactics to get us off God's word even before we get to the battle. But don't we know that Romans 8 and 37 tells us, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. Who love us? That's Jesus Christ. And then even Philippians 4 and 13 gives us encouragement and tells us that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So to be honest with you, I can guarantee you that Jehoshaphat probably was hoping and praying that the Lord would say, hey, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So he wouldn't even have to show up at the battle. And so as we go forth, I ask a question myself. I ask myself a question. So why were the children of Israel in so many battles? Every time you turn around, they was being fought against. And so I believe that the people, all the Amorites and the Hittites and Canaanites and all them heights, were so jealous of Israel because God showed favor and came to their rescue every time in a time of need. So naturally, when people receive things without working for it, it sometimes makes other people mad because they didn't have the same opportunity. Basically, that's called being a hater. And see, on the other hand, those who receive favor don't appreciate it. The worth is because it didn't cost us anything. See, spiritually, I think we take the same view of what Jesus has done on the cross for granted because Jesus freely gave us salvation. And we didn't have to work for it. And therefore, we devalue the precious gift Jesus had provided for us. Amen? And so as we look at the scripture, Jehoshaphat became fearful. And he knew just what to do. The Bible says that we should, in Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then Proverbs gave us a backup and says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Well, who is he? Is God. And so as King Jehoshaphat called the fast in verse 3, he called the fast, and so everybody came together. And sometimes we have to understand, y'all, we have to learn how to turn our plate down and turn our prayers up. And so that's my first point. My first point is we should always pray, And that should be the first thing on our minds when trouble comes. And so the king gathered all the people and to ask the Lord about the situation. And the people were all on one accord. And you do know when we are on one accord and everybody is on the same page, there is no division, no strife, no confusion in the mix. Some things can get done. And as we move on, King Jehoshaphat reminded God how he was a ruler over the world and his promises to Abraham. See, what he did was he repeated God's word back through in prayer. Look at verse 6. He said, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not over all the kingdoms and the other heathens? And in thy hands is there no power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou the God, our God, who does us drive out the inhabitants in this land before the people of Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? See, what Jehoshaphat did was he gave God's word back to him in prayer. And that's what all prayer is repeating God's word. And so you see that the people in verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10, that the people came together and they built a sanctuary and prayed unto God. And so, again, King Jehoshaphat reminded God the possessions that was given to Israel and the protection from all the enemies. Look what he said, because King Jehoshaphat was not crazy. He knew just what to say unto God. In verse 11 and 12, he says, behold, I say, how they rewarded us. Talking about Israel. Getting out of Egypt and how Egypt gave spoils to Israel. And now Jehoshaphat is reminding God of the same thing. King Jehoshaphat probably was trying to use a little psychology here. And he tried to remind God of what he did in the past. Could he do it again? He said, behold, I say how they rewarded us to come to cast us out of these thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. He said, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have not might against these great companies that are coming against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. See, Jehoshaphat, again, prayed this prayer to God. And as we move down, all of Judah stood before the Lord, and look what they did. They brought everybody in the congregation to the sanctuary. The Bible says they brought their wives, their children, and their little ones. And so if you had children and little ones, that means they brought their babies. We know that if the word is good for us, it should be good for our children. And I don't understand why we come to church and leave our family home or leave our children home to do what they wanted to do. But Jehoshaphat said, no, we're bringing everybody. Everybody, Lottie Dottie and everybody. And if you can read, you can walk, you can talk, you got to be in the sanctuary, because they wanted to get an answer from God. And so the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. See, the Bible says in Matthew 18 and 20, it says, for where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, not nobody else's name, in his name, there I be in the midst of them. Which brings me to point number two, prayer changes things. And so when we are on one accord and we pray and there are two or three gathered together, prayer can change some things. Because, again, God honors his word. And so now the Lord answers the congregation. In verse 15, he said, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thou saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He said, don't worry about that. He said, don't be dismayed about this great multitude. He said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He was letting him know, he was ensuring Jehoshaphat that God was saying, I hear you, and I'm going to let you know I will fight your battle. See, simply, we must trust God's word at all times. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 and 11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Who mouth? God's mouth. And it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. See, if the word stands on its own. And Numbers 23 and 19 lets us know that God, when he says something, it is good. It is, you can mark it as it's gonna be just what he said. Numbers 23 and 19 says, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said it, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall not make it good? See, God's word is just backing up his word. And so Jehoshaphat didn't have to worry about nothing, because God told him in verse 15, for the battle is not yours, but mine. And so as we look at the theme in verse 16 and 17, look what it says here. Because God had told them something to give them a promise. He said in verse 16 and 17, he said, turn, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zin, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeroboam. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Ain't that some good news? He's already telling you, you ain't got to do nothing. He said, just go down to the brook. He said, set yourself, stand ye still. He said, nothing else but stand ye still. And he said, see the salvation of the Lord with you. He said, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some good news. If I can go to God and pray to him, and we are on one accord, and God gives me that confirmation and say, I ain't got to do nothing but show up, and I don't have to lift a finger, and I can see the salvation of the Lord, and he tell me to fear not, he said, because I'm with you, I should have nothing to worry about. So we look at verse 20. Jehoshaphat said to the congregation, to believe in the Lord and his prophets, and ye shall be established and prosper. So Jehoshaphat was just reiterating what God had already said. And then look at this. In verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed some singers to go before the army, which brings to point number three. Praise and worship is always welcome before God. Look what he said. He said in verse 21, he said, and ye have consulted the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for your mercy endure forever. Now, who can't win a battle like that when God says, put your people up front as singers? See, that was the praise team there. See, the praise team came in and set the ground. The praise team came in and worshiped the Lord and brought the Spirit of the Lord in. And as they went forth before the army. See, I don't know about you. It's an unwritten thing that we say in the church. It's not in the Bible, but we say when praises go up, blessings come down. And so when that happens, look what God did in verse 22. God set an ambush against their enemies, and they were all killed. And, then look what he did. He was so awesome. God is so awesome. He had all three tribes destroying one another. They were so confused. Instead of them trying to go against King Jehoshaphat, them three was fighting against themselves. He confused them, and look what happened. They were killing one another. And so by that time, when the Bible says in verse 24, when Judah came to watch to the watchtower, the Bible said that they saw all dead bodies. They didn't have to lift a finger. They didn't have to do nothing. Because when time they got there in that morning, look at the words that he said, tomorrow morning go down and look. He said, when you got there, what happened? All his enemies were dead. And so King Jehoshaphat and his people came down, and then guess what they did? They took all the spoils. The same thing that happened in Egypt when they put them out. They gave them spoils. They gave them riches and all these things. And so here happens the same way. Jehoshaphat came down and took all the spoils, all the clothing and the fine jewelry and everything that was there. It was so much that it was more than they could carry. And isn't that just like God? He can bless you in the middle of a mess. And not only that, it was so much spoil, Pastor Butterfield. It took them 3 days to gather all the stuff that was left over. Do you know how much stuff that could be?
What are you doing?
3 days? Oh, yes, he was doing it. 3 days. It took them 3 days to gather all the spoils that was left there. And then they called that place the Valley of Blessings. Oh, it had to be because anytime you go to war, there's casualties, and all those dead bodies left all those rings and all that jewelry and all that gold and all that myrrh and money and everything else. They probably had donkeys hanging around with bling-bling on the ears, and they had all this stuff that they just couldn't get it all at one time. It took them 3 days. Isn't it like God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? In like the 3 days when he said he was in the tomb, he raised up Jesus in 3 days. In 3 days, they had so much force. They had to come back. But see, look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, and then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to Jerusalem and with joy. And for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. See, the Bible tells us in Psalms 110 and 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at the right hand, and I'll make your enemies thy footstool. And so we can use that as point number four, rest in the finished works of the Lord. See, you can look at that scripture, and he can say the Lord was talking to King Jehoshaphat. He said, just sit down. Watch what I do. He said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. And don't you know God would do just what he said he'll do? And so as we get these last two verses, they came to the house of the Lord with string instruments and harps. In other words, they had a parade. They marched down the street, and they had a parade to let the people know what the Lord had done. And then and then they go further than that. The fear of the Lord was on all the other kingdoms. And when they hear what God has fought against the enemies of Israel, God gave peace to the rest of King Jehoshaphat's reign. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you right now, if you would know that a group of people who had some backing and they had the backing of God and God had delivered them from all of these tribes, the word got out and the people didn't mess with it no more. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know when you had two or three brothers and you was a baby boy, speaking of myself, you had backup. And they wouldn't mess with Joe because Joe had Marvin, Tyrese Leroy, and Henry Jr., or Henry, rather. So he had four brothers to back him up. So Joe can talk a little junk now because he got backup. And the word went out. Don't mess with little Joe because he got four brothers to jump on. See, and this is the same thing what God did here. He was saying, I'm going to send the word out. I'm going to let you know if you mess with my people, you're messing with death. You're messing with your own death certificate because I'm letting you know I'm on their side. And so God was telling them if they would have read Romans 8, see, this was wrong with the enemy. They don't read the Bible. If they had read the Bible in Romans 8 and 31, he said, what should we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? If they knew that, they wouldn't have never messed with King Jehoshaphat. And so though, and then King Jehoshaphat knew that God was on his side. He said in 1 John 4:4, he said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See,
amen.
All I'm trying to get you to understand is God is on your side. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Can I tell you this one more time in a different fashion? You see, to wrap this thing up, look at this. You first have to recognize the problem. Then we need to humble ourselves before God. Learn how to put first things first by going to the Lord in prayer. And see, then we remind God of his word. Now, caution now, understand this. If you don't know the word, you can't remind yourself, you can't remind God of his word if you don't have a relationship with him. And then once we know that, we need to get on accord, on one accord with all those who are with us. And we need to seek God's counseling, as Jehoshaphat did. He went to God and got counseling from him. He told him what to do. And then we need to follow the instructions to the T, not veer to the left or veer to the right, but do what God said do. He told Jehoshaphat to go down there and just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then once that happens, give God the praise and worship for the manifestation before even it's done. Otherwise, you're trusting in God and believing in his word before you see the manifestation done in your life. And then after all that's done, we can go down and reap the harvest, reap all that God has left for us, reap all the spoils and everything that God left us to. Look what Ruth did in that field. And then what she did, as she got recognized by Boaz, and God had placed on his heart to lead and to lead that stuff on the field of wheat for her to glean to. Because all she did was be obedient. She was there where she's supposed to be and be where she's supposed to be. And so, therefore, she reaped the harvest. And then after all that, we need not to stop there. We need to continue to serve the Lord our God. See, today,
Amen.
It seems like everybody is fighting over something, any and everything. We are fighting over religion. We're fighting over human rights. We're fighting in politics, fighting about money. We're even fighting over men and women. You got my girlfriend. This is my man. We're fighting over the crazy stuff. But rarely do I hear people fighting for God's word being taken out of the schools. See, we don't fight over that. See,
right.
We don't fight when the word is getting taken out of the courthouse. And then we don't put up a fight sometimes when the word is being taken out of the house of worship, when people are preaching the wrong things and saying the wrong things in the house of God and making people go the wrong way. We don't fight about that. We just say, it ain't my fight or it ain't my job. But see, as Christians, we don't have to fight to keep our jobs. We don't have to fight to keep our houses and our land because God has already made the promises to us and is already done. See, we're fighting over the wrong things. We should be fighting for the right to serve God in our spirit with the enemy. And so so we understand that these things that we're fighting against really don't make a hill of beans about anything. We waste more time fighting over stuff that doesn't, it's trivial. And so we should be setting the record straight of what we should be fighting for, and that's for the Lord. And then God will say, okay, I can take it from here. And it's already done. See, if you know anything about boxing, Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson and Sugar Ray Leonard, they had to step into the ring to fight, to either win the title or retain the title. But as Christians, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, we don't have to do that. 1 Samuel 17 and 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord God saved not the sword and the spear. Look what he says. He said, all the assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and we give him up in our hand. And we will give you into our hands. Basically, what he was saying to Samuel was, God said he didn't win the battle. You didn't win the battle by using a sword or a spear. He said, the battle is mine, and I'm going to give it to you in your hands. As I wrap this up, this is what I want you to understand. I truly believe in the New Testament living, which is today. Jesus is really asking us, what are we battling with? What are we battling with? Is it depression, anxiety, relationships, money issues, pornography, sickness, adultery, sex, drugs, and alcohol abuse, lying, stealing, murder? And that's saying you kill somebody, but we could have killed people with our mouth. About folks, that's murder. Adultery, disobedient kids. Are we battling hatred or just unbelief? And you do know unbelief is sin. And so if it's some of these issues in your life or it's sin, I just want to remind you that there is no such thing as a little sin or a big sin. The Bible says in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. So if you are battling with any of these things in your area of life, and some I didn't mention, understand that God tells us, he said, whatever you are facing in life, you can truly believe what 1 Peter 5:7 says. He says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. See, God really never intended for us to fight our battles. He just wants us to show up so he can show out. And so what we do is we try to do God's job instead of let God do what he want to do in us. So all we have to do is learn how to rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Know that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. And so in the end, we know the story, how it comes out. We know in the end, we win. So as I close again, I will say, just remember, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome word.
Thank you.
Minister Jones. That was really awesome. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And so those of you out there in radio land tonight, I want you to really take this word at heart, because this is a word that is on time and in season, especially for this time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. A lot of things get on people's mind and everything. And sometimes we think that we have these battles that we need to fight when we don't need to be fighting the battles. So, Minister Jones, I was thinking about the fact that I know you laid out the process that people should always pray and start believing that prayer will change things if we pray. But what would you tell someone, like, right here now? Next week is Thanksgiving, and people have a whole lot of situations maybe going on in their household or outside of their household. You know, Pastor Butterfield mentioned forgive and move forward and have a great Thanksgiving and Christmas, and let's just forgive and let's just go forward. What would you suggest the first thing a person would do in order to get to that place where they can just sit down and pray? Because sometimes people just can't pray. They don't have the heart to pray.
Right.
So what thing they would do?
Well, first of all, prayer is only heavenly, it's words speaking towards God. And there's no formula. And you just tell God what's on your heart. And I would tell somebody, I said, well, think about the situation. Is it really a situation, or is it pride is making you or pushing you to that way? Because, see, a lot of times we get upset and want to fight the battle because of pride. You're not going to talk to me that way. I'm just as grown as you are. And so the enemy knows that because he uses that even when the enemy was in the heaven. Pride got the devil thrown out. So I would tell a person, listen, sit back and think about, was it really that important? Was it really the fuck over? Was that person really trying to disrespect you? And then you ask, and just ask God, say, God, show me, just as simple as say, God, show me. What am I doing in this situation that can help it or hinder it? And then ask God to give you the words to say to the person that you need to talk to. Because, again, prayer is only you talking to God. It's communication. So you don't have to go into all that, Lord, I'm here today. And you ain't got to go into all that. You just say, Lord, show me what I need to do. Every time I mess up, my wife taught me something a long time ago. She taught me a long time. She said, ask God to show you. And so that sticks with me. Because when that tells me that you are humbling yourself and asking God to change your life, and if you change your life, it will change the situation. Because guess what? The thing that you were really mad about, you won't get mad about it before no more, because God has shown you it's not that important.
That is really good.
Amen.
That is awesome. Yeah, that's a good answer. So those of you out there in radio land, listen, take this counsel, because he was talking about counsel. And so take this counsel tonight. Just take this word as counsel to your heart, to your spirit, that you will go forth and just do some stuff that you haven't done before. Like, say, it's my fault, and I'm just going to forgive and move. You know what I'm saying? Just forgive and move forward.
Right.
And
Go ahead. No, quickly. The Bible said, agree with your adversary quickly. You know, so he said, don't you, and paraphrasing this, he said, won't you just take the fault? Like you said, a default to say, okay, my bad, I was wrong. And move on.
And move on, move forward. So those of you that lives are lit up tonight, and we are so happy to have each and every one of you on the call tonight, tune in, and we give God all the glory and all the praise for it. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. So
Amen.
If you let the Lord handle it, it will be handled.
Amen.
But if we try to handle it ourselves, now that is what Minister Jones is trying to tell us tonight, is don't try to handle your battles on your own, but take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
And if you pick up your Bible, like he said, get your Bible and just start reading it, and that will be your prayer. I mean, just get your Bible and start reading it, and then you can do your own praise and worship. Amen. You can pray. You can, God, you can begin to praise God. You can begin to worship God, because that is very important that you do that. And we want to give the audience a chance to respond to this word on tonight. So if you would press 1 on your phone, we will bring you live on the air to talk with this man of God that has brought forth a powerful anointed word tonight that all of us can pay attention to. Amen. So press 1 on your phone. We will bring you live on the air. He will pray with you, answer a question, and we have one in queue. Your phone number is 404, the first 3 digits, and the last 4 digits is 1933. And you are now live on the air, caller.
I enjoyed this sermon so much, Minister Jones, and I'm asking that you all were include me in your prayers. I've been out from the church for quite a while. This is Mother Weems for almost 3 weeks, and it's because I've been ill. So add me to your prayer list as you pray for the people that's been on your sick list. And two, I want to say to Minister Jones, keep up the good work. You know your mama's praying for you.
Praise God. We thank you so much for calling in, and we are believing, God, that you are healed, and we'll continue to pray in the name of Jesus. We have one more in queue. First 3 digits is 757. Last four digits is 2869, and you are now live on the air, caller. First three digits, 757. Last four, 2869. You are now live. Okay. Well, praise God for that caller. We could not make the connection, but we praise God, and we thank God for Mother Weems. We praise God for your life, and we believe in God that God, he has already healed you, and that you will be up and about tomorrow.
Amen.
Joy comes in the morning, amen. So I believe that you will be up and about in the morning, amen. So we thank God for you. But Minister Jones, you know, you was letting the Lord use you tonight to bring forth this word, and you mentioned about know the problem. Sometimes we are upset about stuff that we don't even know what we are upset about. And then when everything is over, we still don't know what we was upset about. Now, can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yes, ma'am. Listen, you know what's funny to me? When you said that, I used to tell me and my wife, we get into about little small stuff, right? And we might take a couple of hours not speaking to each other. You know how we do as married couples.
Uh-huh.
And, and you know what I would do to my wife? I would go back to her and say, what were you mad about? And she'd look at me and just start busting out laughing.
Oh, no.
Because we forgot about it, and we really don't know what we were fussing about. Because it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that thing is, that's what I'm saying, that pride will get you in trouble because we want to have our way. We do not want to be wrong.
Right.
And so we got to understand the Bible said it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It ain't that my wife is out there stealing my money or our money, or sleeping around, or she's getting drunk. It's just that one word she said to me that made me hot for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to act a fool for 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh.
I had to say, you know what? I had to take responsibility for myself. See,
mm-hmm.
I saw a man by the name of Mike Freeman. He said,
mm-hmm.
people can't make you mad. You
Uh-oh.
Can only allow yourself to get mad.
My
and
Lord.
So I took that and I examined my own life. If she said something to me I don't like or something that I didn't too care for, you know what I would do? I was like, you know what? It don't even matter. Because
don't even matter.
She said what she had to say, and
mm-hmm.
that was she felt that a minute, and I let it go. I don't let it fester.
Let it.
And then when I know there's a good time to come back and talk to her about it, or vice versa, either the same way. See, we know each other. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
God knows us too. And
that's
the enemy
right.
knows us too. He knows our patterns. He know if a jackrabbit jump in front of your car, you will cuss it out every time. So what he allows to do, he let a jackrabbit come past there in front of your car. So when you learn how to not let the jackrabbit get you jacked up, you will stop cussing him out. So what we have to realize the problem. It ain't really a problem.
Yes.
It's our pride.
Yes. That's
Amen.
Good. That's
awesome.
Good, man. That's good.
Awesome.
Praise
awesome.
The Lord.
Awesome. Awesome. What an awesome night,
mm-hmm.
man. I thank God for this word tonight.
Rest and the finished work.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
So we want you, before we go, pray for all our audience, and especially Mother Williams.
Yes, yes. Yes, come on. And so listen, I'm going to let my wife pray us out. I just want to say one thing. If
mm-hmm.
we would learn that God has our best interest, and we can really sit back and relax and let God do what he does, and we do what we do, everything
mm-hmm.
will be all right.
Everything.
Amen.
Everything. Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, first of all, saying thank you, God.
Yes,
we thank you that the battle is not ours, but it is yours, oh God. And, Lord, we just ask that you would just speak healing to the bodies of everyone that's listening, that's under the sound of our voices, oh God, that's experiencing any kind of illness in any kind of way. Mother Wing, that we know who has been feeling ill, God, we ask that you would just let your healing virtue flow from throughout her body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, oh God. And Lord, anyone else that's listening or has a loved one that's experiencing any kind of pain in their body, that where their spirit man needs to be built up, God, we ask that you would just touch right now only you can, God. Let healing just flow, oh God, not just through their bodies, but God, let healing just be in their household, oh God, that what you did at Calvary for dying for our sins, oh God, and for our healing, for anything that we've done, anything that we're doing, and anything that we will do, God, that is forgiven at Calvary, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just let us all walk in healing, oh God, as only you can, God. Let your healing power just be within us, oh God, that we can lay hands on the sick, oh God, and they will be healed, oh God, as your word says, God. Lord, we ask that you would just move, God, in families, oh God, and as Pastor Butterfield said earlier, oh God, that whatever it is, if there's any kind of odd, any kind of schism of any sort, oh God, that we will just be able to rectify it, oh God, and be able to move forward in love, oh God, because we can't say that we know you and we are saved and we can't walk in forgiveness, oh God, because you forgave us, oh God, and we continually mess up on a daily basis, oh God. So help us to have forgiveness in our heart, oh God, this Thanksgiving. So not just Thanksgiving, but forgiveness, oh God, in our hearts, oh God, with our family members, oh God, that whatever it is, we will carry it no longer, oh God, because we know that when things lie dormant in us, Lord, they can have an ill effect on our bodies, on our minds, oh God. So create in us a clean heart, oh God, and restore the right spirit within us, oh God, so that we can love our family, we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can love that homeless person, oh God, that person who doesn't have a clue about who you are, oh God, and we can offer you to them, oh God. Lord, just move, oh God, during this Thanksgiving holiday that's coming up, God, the Christmas holidays, oh God. Just move in the midst of families. Restore as only you can, God. Heal as only you can, God. Anything that anyone is carrying, God, let them just lay it at the altar. Lay it at your feet, oh God, knowing that you, everything that concerns us concerns you, God. Just move as only you can on our behalf, oh God. Restore, heal, and deliver, God, as only you can, God. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the enemy and anything he might try to do to get us off track, oh God, and moving forward in the destiny that you have for each of our lives, oh God. Just move as only you can, God. And Lord, we thank you also for the healing of Pastor Butterfield, oh God, because we know he's been under the weather, and we thank you for the healing that you're allowing to take place in his body, oh God. And we thank you for Pastor Ann, oh God. Lord, we thank you for our church family, oh God, the love, the legacy of love that's there, oh God, and that your Holy Spirit resides there, oh God. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you all the honor. It's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Thank you so much
for the word and for
Hallelujah.
That prayer.
For that prayer.
Oh,
amen.
My God.
Thank you. Amen. So
thank
tell
you.
Your neighbors, tell your friends on next Saturday at 8 p.m. to dial
917-388-4161
to
the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.